Hello and welcome to Natural Focus. My name is David Boag and this podcast is dedicated as a celebration of the natural world. It's a funny old world, isn't it? You know, a couple of days ago, somebody phoned me up asking me if I was interested in photographing the badgers in their garden. They are feeding badgers, and every night these badgers regularly come into the garden to feed on scraps of food that they put out for them, peanuts and that kind of thing. And they're highly delighted with these badgers that come into their garden to feed. And they've even managed to fix up a light that comes on and illuminates the garden, and the badgers have got used to the light and they feed in the light, and people can watch them and this kind of thing. And all sorts of people have visited their house to sit beside the window there and just watch the badgers feeding in the garden. And it really is quite popular, yeah? On the other hand, my sister-in-law, she has badgers in her garden and she hates them, because they do a lot of damage in her garden. They seem to be digging up the lawn half the time and digging up the flower beds, and they're using one area of the vegetable plot as a latrine, and they really are unpopular. And she's done all she can to try to get rid of them, all she can to stop them spreading smelly stuff about and frightening them off and all of this kind of thing, but it does no good whatsoever. The badgers are determined to use the garden. But actually, I think more than an illustration of how interesting or variable badgers can be, that actually shows how peculiar people are. One person loves them and another person hates them. Exactly the same species, and one person wants them in the garden, but another person doesn't. But actually, you see that kind of thing all over the world. I can remember when I was in Queensland in Australia. Incidentally, I noticed that quite a lot of people are visiting my website from Queensland. I don't know why that particular area. I don't know how they would get onto me, but it's really good. If you're listening to the podcast and you're in Queensland, let me tell you, I loved Queensland. I thought it was stunning. I thought it was brilliant. And somehow or other, I am determined to get back there again. But a bird that I've got in my mind at the moment was I've forgotten it. Oh, I know. Rainbow lorikeet. That's it. Rainbow lorikeets. Really common in Queensland. I don't know whether they're common throughout, but certainly the area, the areas that I visited, which is, of course, the coastal strip, starting north of, Port Douglas and on higher than that, actually, up to Daintree and so on, and they're right the way down to Brisbane. But, yeah, these birds, rainbow lorikeets, were really common there, and they're absolutely beautiful birds. They're really gorgeous. They're stunning. Of course, in England, we don't have beautiful birds or such brightly coloured birds in our country here. And so I suppose things like rainbow lorikeets are really exotic and beautiful to us anyway. But I noticed that some people were feeding them, were actually encouraging them into their garden, putting food out for them, bits of fruit and that kind of thing. And they were regularly feeding in those sort of locations, obviously. And they'd become quite an attraction to see so many rainbow lorikeets. Their colour was just stunning as they flew around in quite large numbers. But other people, such as the farmers, they absolutely hated them because of the damage that they did to fruit and this kind of thing. And they do an incredible amount of damage. We can't deny it. From the agricultural or horticultural point of view, many creatures do an awful lot of damage. And sometimes we're really critical, or we can be if we're not careful, very critical of farmers that are trying to make a living where nature is absolutely causing them all sorts of problems. Birds would cause them problems. Hey, in Queensland as well, bats were causing a lot of problems. The fruit bats, as you can imagine. And again, people that were trying to farm or were trying to grow a crop were absolutely plagued, as it were, with wildlife in terms of what they would refer to as pests, but we would refer to as animal or bird life. an even crazier situation here in England that I can think of was really quite amusing, actually, because when I was doing a book for a quarry company, I drove into one particular quarry and I happened to be photographing a rook. That's a rook. If you're not from England, you wouldn't necessarily know. I suppose it's a member of the crow family of birds. Incredibly common. Very common. In fact, so common that it is one of the few unprotected birds in the British Isles. In the British Isles, virtually every bird is protected from being shot or its nest being damaged and so on and so forth. But because rooks are so incredibly common and do a certain amount of damage, I don't know whether they actually do damage, but they're accused of doing damage within the natural history, within the farming community, and they're very common, they're not actually protected. But anyway, I was in this car park photographing a rook, the quarry car park, and one of the lorry drivers came up to me and he made a rather silly comment. He said, "What are you doing?" Well, I thought it was obvious. "I'm photographing a rook," I said, "yeah." And he said, "They're tame here." I said, "What do you mean they're tame?" He said, "Yeah, they're tame here." You can imagine this sort of burly lorry driver. He was a brilliant guy. He said, "Yeah, they're tame here." I said, "What do you mean? How can they be tame? They're wild birds, you know? They breed in the wild. They're not tame." He said, "They're tame here." I said, "Well, what are you on about?" And he turns around to his mates who are standing not very far away. He said, "Our rooks are tame, aren't they?" And they all kind of nodded. And he said, "We feed them every day." I said, "What do you mean? You feed the rooks?" And he said, "Yep, we all bring in an extra sandwich. Our wives make us an extra sandwich and puts it in our lunchbox and we feed it to the rooks." Wow. I mean, he could see I was looking a bit doubtful, to be honest with you. And so what he did, he sort of looked around at his mates and he said, "Anyone got a sandwich?" And they all sort of shook their heads and said, no. "Yeah, it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We fed the rooks lunchtime. We ain't got any sandwiches left." You can imagine the kind of conversation, can't you? Anyway, he wasn't to be put off by this. And so he leapt into the cab of his huge lorry, yeah, or truck, I suppose, if you're an American. He leapt into the cab. And he slammed the door as loud as he could so that all of the rooks looked in his direction. And then he grabbed a white cloth and he said, "Oh, they won't know the difference between this white cloth and a sandwich." And he shoved the white cloth out of the window and all of the rooks came down swamp onto his lorry. Loads of them. They were obviously fed every day. It was really funny to see, actually. It was really great. He certainly proved his point. And so there's another wonderful illustration of these lorry drivers, a group of lorry drivers in the southwestern part of England, actually feeding rooks, while the rest of England seems to want to get rid of rooks. Well, I don't know about the rest of England, that's not right. But the agricultural community, people that are involved in farming and that sort of thing, they don't want rooks, they don't want to know about them. And very few people actually feed rooks. Even people, you know, that are really interested in birds, they don't want rooks in their garden for some reason or other. I don't know why. But certainly these guys were feeding rooks. So it just goes to show, doesn't it? It goes to show how strange people are. How that people pick and choose the things that they're interested in. I guess one of the best illustrations, and I often tease members of the RSPB, that would be the Royal Society for the Protection of Birds. They tend to be people that are really interested in natural history and really interested in birds. Not obsessive necessarily, just interested. I don't mean necessarily very knowledgeable or really clever people on birds. You know, just people that are interested and enjoy feeding them. And they obviously, or that sort of person, along with countless thousands of other people, put peanuts in the garden and bird food in the garden for the birds, you know, during the winter months. Many, many people do that. But I often tease those sort of people because they're the people that seem to hate squirrels. Yeah? They hate squirrels. And the reason that they hate squirrels is because the squirrels eat the peanuts. Well, what's wrong with that? Why shouldn't squirrels eat peanuts? Oh, well, I don't know about that. But they put them in the put the peanuts in the garden for the birds and they get upset if the squirrels eat them. Well, I don't know. Why not feed the squirrels instead? Why not put extra peanuts out for the squirrels? I don't know. We're all different. We pick and choose the things that we allow. We pick and choose the things that we're interested in. I guess another good illustration, actually, is where you've got sparrowhawks. Sparrowhawk is a bird of prey. I'm very conscious that people from around the world won't necessarily know each of these individual birds. But a sparrowhawk is a bird of prey. It's quite a small bird of prey that flies low to the ground really fast. Yeah. And it comes in really fast, sort of hops over a hedge or a fence really quickly and grabs a small passerine bird. So that would be the sort of bird, a sort of garden bird. Yeah. Well, people get really upset by sparrowhawks. You know, they'll be looking out of the kitchen window and they'll be watching the chickadees, the blue tits or the great tits or the, you know, or the sparrows or the finches and that kind of thing. They'll be watching them feeding on the food that they've put out in the garden, and suddenly a sparrowhawk comes into the garden. Wham! All the birds fly off and one gets caught and killed, and they get really upset about this sparrowhawk. Hey, but isn't that all part of it? Isn't that all part of the natural world? Isn't that all part of the cycle of life? And I always think, if you're hanging up peanuts for blue tits, yeah, aren't you hanging up blue tits for sparrowhawks? Yeah? Same thing, isn't it? It's a kind of web of life. Nothing in nature exists on its own. Everything relies upon something else. Well, I've no doubt we will continue for many years to come to pick and choose the things in nature that we're interested in. I find most things fascinating. I've got other thoughts I'd like to share with you, especially with regard to plants. You know, weeds we call them in some situations, plants we call them in other situations. It just depends where they are. But I'm going to talk about that on another occasion, because clearly time has disappeared already. Anyway, it was really good to talk to you again. Hope you enjoy my podcast. I'd love to hear from you. Please do write and email me, david@naturalfocus.co.uk. Go and have a look at my website, which is obviously also Natural Focus, www.naturalfocus.co.uk. NaturalFocus, naturalfocus.co.uk. Do email me, love to hear from you, and I'll catch up with you again before too long. See you soon. Bye-bye.